Amen. Well, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be able to preach at Faith Forward Baptist Church, and it's kind of bittersweet as well because I come to church to listen to the best pastor on the planet, and unfortunately he's not going to be here tonight, but don't worry, he'll be back Sunday. He's on a missions trip right now on the res, so tonight you're going to have to listen to me. Amen. Man, that was kind of quiet. Amen. All right. Is this a Baptist church or what? Hey, I don't know, but y'all got to work on that. Amen. There you go. Somebody's with me tonight. Amen. I know he's filled with the Spirit. All right. So the verse that I want to focus on is right there, Matthew 6:4. It says this, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And the title of my sermon is this, the difficult things God rewards. The difficult things that God rewards. So I want to start out by defining what I mean by difficult. So I'm going to try to give some simple definitions. So when I mean difficult, this is what I mean. A simple definition of difficult is this: hard to do, hard to endure, challenging, painful, uncomfortable. And what's the title of the sermon? The difficult things that God rewards. So I want to make it even more simple what I mean by difficult. When it comes to difficult, just simply not easy, not easy. But let me give a definition that's going to help you with tonight's sermon. This is what I want you to remember when I say difficult. When I mean by something difficult, I talk about something that is hard to do, but is worth doing because God rewards it. Amen? Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to be as heavily rewarded as I possibly can in heaven. And also, I want you guys to be as heavily rewarded as possibly able to be rewarded in heaven. So every time I get up here, I want to do my best to teach you something, edify you, build you up, and try to help you to remember that at the end of the day, we got to set our affections on things above, not on these things on this earth. Amen? Amen. So the other thing I also want to define, besides the word difficult, you know, is I want to define, you know, what I mean by just things. Like what I mean by difficult things. Obviously what I mean by difficult, like I said, just something that's hard to do, but it's worth doing because God rewards it. And here right there in verse number 4, it says this, that thy alms may be in secret, and the Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Not just that you're going to be rewarded, but you're going to be rewarded openly by God himself. And how cool is that? That God himself is going to personally reward you when you do these things that are difficult to do. But if you were to do them, you will get a reward, and that's guaranteed. Amen? And one of the sermons that I think of often when it comes to me serving God is a sermon by Dr. Jack Howells. I don't know, can you just raise your hand? I just want to get an idea how many people know who Dr. Jack Howells is. All right, looks about 50%. Looks like some of you don't know who he is. He's an old independent fundamental Baptist. He's dead. He's in heaven now. You know, but one of the sermons that he preached that I listened to early on when I became a Christian was a sermon called Duty. And I recommend, if you get a chance, I mean, if you want to do it now, I'm not going to have a problem with it since you're on your phone. Some of you may be on your phone, some of you may not. Go ahead and might as well do something productive and go ahead and go on Google, search Jack Howells, and look up this sermon called Duty. If you're going to do something on your phone, you might as well do something productive, something spiritual. You know, so go ahead and search that sermon, Duty. And if you can't, just save that sermon for later and listen to it. But I love that sermon because he brings up duty. He brings up doing things for God that are difficult, but not always doing it because you like it. Sometimes you just have to do things because it's your duty. And then he talks about the military. When he was in the military, a lot of stuff they did, he did not like. But he didn't because it was his duty to do them. And that's kind of what I want to remind you guys tonight, that doing God's work is not always going to be fun, but it's always going to be worth it. When it comes to the military, some of the things they're going to make you do, hey, they may not be fun, and some things are not fun. But here's the thing, a lot of those things, you're not going to get rewarded at all, you know, at all in heaven. So when it comes to God's work, at least we can remember that we will always be rewarded for doing God's work. Amen? So what I want to talk about really quickly is the first thing that I see here, and I'm just going to bring up three things. There's a lot of things that God requires us to do that are difficult, like soul winning. You know, those things are difficult, you know, but God does reward that. But I want to talk about three things that I don't think gets brought up enough. And the first thing I want to talk about, and all three things are in this chapter, but the first thing I want to talk about is right there in verse number 4. And the first thing I want to talk about that's difficult is alms. It's alms. Amen? So let me quickly explain what I mean by alms. Alms are simply just gifts given to help the poor and needy. In simple words, alms are gifts given to help poor or needy people. And we can give money, it can be food, it can be clothing, other necessities, and I even think it can even be your time. You know, sometimes some people, they may need you to help them out to move or something. They can't afford a moving truck or movers, so they may ask for help. And I think that's, in a way, being somebody who's showing that they're giving their time, and in a way that could be alms as well. And when it comes to that word alms, the word alms is used 13 times in the King James Bible, and it seems to all be in the New Testament. In Matthew and in Acts, you'll find this word. But also in the Old Testament, you kind of see this principle of helping people out, having pity upon the poor, and being rewarded by God himself if those poor people can reward you themselves. For example, Proverbs 9:17 says this, "He that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again." But of course, when it comes to almsgiving, let's just start right there since you're in Matthew 6. Let's just start with verse number 1. It says this, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." So one of the things you need to realize really quickly when it comes to alms, when it comes to doing things for other people, when it comes to helping the poor, is that we don't want to make a big deal of it. We don't want to do it before men to kind of receive the praise of men. It says in verse 2, "Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as thy hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward, and the Pharisees' reward is nothing." When we do things for the wrong reasons, and when we do things for the praise of men, you're not going to get rewarded by the Father, because you're getting technically your reward by men. You know, if you're constantly doing things in front of people, yeah, they may thank you, they may praise you for it, you may even be told to come before the church, and somebody may give you an award somewhere down the road. But at the end of the day, we should have this attitude that if we're going to help people, we want to do it for the right reasons. You know, we don't want to do it in a way that we're doing it because we just want glory. And of course, there's things that the Bible calls vainglory, and those are the things we kind of need to be careful with. You know, but verse number 3 says this, "When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." And then here's the verse that I want to focus on, "And that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." And one of the great examples, if you have your Bible, go to Acts chapter number 10. Go ahead and go to Acts chapter number 10, and I can tell you something that me personally, I've had a lot of people in this church help us out, even from the beginning of my time here at Faithful Word. I remember when I had enough money to get by, but not to have anything extra, and my wife got pregnant, and then we ended up having this baby shower, where after we kind of did the math, it appeared like they gave us over $1,000 worth of baby stuff. You know, some of the gifts were cash, some of the gifts were clothes, some of the gifts were gift cards, but I was just blown away just how much this church was giving to us. And back then, we had a small church. You know, I think we had maybe, when I first started coming, you could probably count about 40 adults at every service, and obviously we had a few kids as well, so we might have had like 60 people in the service. I could be wrong. You know, but it wasn't a very big church. But one thing I noticed right away is that the church really cared about each other. You know, they really cared about helping each other out, especially in times of need. And I remember when I was wondering whether or not I should buy a house or not, because I was nervous. I wasn't too sure which one was better. And I just happened to counsel with Pastor Anderson. I asked him, "Hey, listen, I'm thinking about buying a house. What do you think?" And right away, he's like, "Hey, you need to buy a house, like, right now." This is during the crash. This is in 2009. I didn't know whether I should rent. I don't know whether I should have just financed a home. But as soon as I asked him, he's like, "You need to do it right now." And the first thing I told him was, "I don't have any money. I would love to buy a church, but I don't have any money." And this is what he said without even hesitating. "I'll give you the money. I'll give you the money." That's what he said. Back then, he wasn't getting paid by the church. I think it took about 3 years before he started getting paid by the church. He had his business. But man, he realized, wow, you know, I really want to help this guy out. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to give you the money and you can just pay me back." He literally just said, "I'll give you the money." So back then, believe it or not, homes were selling for about $70,000. I know it's hard to believe because right now you can't find a home in a decent area for probably around under $400,000. But back then, the first house that I got approved for, believe it or not, was $69,000. $69,000, three bedrooms. I don't remember the square footage. I'm assuming it's around $1,500. So I'm thinking, wow, I think we found one. And then sure enough, we started looking into things and ended up not getting a house, but I got another house that ended up being a better house that helped me to get this house that I have now. So all things work together for good is what I'm trying to say, amen? But the thing that just blew me away is how Pastor
man, he actually cared about me so much that he didn't even hesitate. He's like, yeah, I'll loan you the money. And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm going to get a house for about $119,000, which is what I bought my first house for, I was thinking, okay, 10%, that's going to be about what? I don't know, $19,000. So it's going to be like maybe 20 or something like that. But one thing led to another. I didn't know this at the time. The VA loan, because I was a vet, turns out that you don't have to have a down payment. Somehow it works out. So I didn't need Pastor to help me out, but I was just blown away how he was just willing to help me out because I didn't have any money in the bank. But he believed in what he preached, so he's like, hey, I believe you need to buy a house right now. I believe it so much, I'll help you buy your house. So I was just blown away by the way he just took care of me. But here Cornelius is somebody who's a great example of somebody who gave alms that got God's attention. Because as you can see in Matthew, it clearly says that thy alms may be in secret and thy Father will see it in secret. Himself shall reward thee openly. And here's an example of that. And you constantly read things in the Bible where you see a statement and then you'll see a story kind of backing up that statement. Like, for example, the Bible talks about when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes him and his enemies to be at peace with him. And then you read a story of something like that. For example, Jacob, when Laban was chasing him, I'm not sure how familiar everybody is in here with the Bible. I'm assuming since you've been here for a while, it's the story of Laban chasing Jacob to do hurt to him. And as he's about to catch up to him, God steps in. What is Jacob doing? He's just pleasing God. He's doing what God tells him to do. He's going back to his homeland. And so, of course, Laban gets mad that he didn't tell him. He gets on his horses, I guess, with his friends, and they go after Jacob to try to pretty much put the hurting on him. I don't know what he was going to do. I don't know if he was going to kill him. I highly doubt that. He was probably just going to give him a beating because he was mad that he didn't get told that he was going to leave. He did it in secret. Here comes Laban just chasing him down, mad as can be, and God steps in, and he tells him, you're not going to do anything to Jacob, not a single thing. And then sure enough, Laban, you know, catches up to Jacob and even says that, hey, the God of your fathers appeared unto me. It is in my power to do you hurt, but he appeared unto me and I'm not going to hurt you because he basically told me not to do it. And so when it comes to God being pleased, God will reward you. He wants to reward you. He wants to take care of his people. But here, if you're there in the book of Acts, and I know it's hot in here, so I'll try to speed it up. I'm 12 minutes in. I'll try to finish in the next 30. Amen. All right, Acts chapter number 10, it says this about Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Verse number 3, and he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And verse number 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial. So this is a perfect example of a man that gave alms and God was happy with him. God answered his prayers. And this is how we should be as God's people. We should constantly be looking for ways to do more. And one of the ways that we can do more is by helping people, whatever it may be, with gifts, with whatever the case. You just never know who's in need, and if you're obviously getting around people, you may hear something, but in reality, you know what? What's better than hearing is doing something. You know, and I always love how, I don't know, my wife never expected this, but I always like how my wife likes to give little gifts to people on their birthday. Every single time that she's doing it, I notice it, you know, because she obviously is like doing it in front of me in my office, getting it ready to give it to people, and she's just trying to be a blessing. You know, it's not necessarily alms, you could say, because she's not trying to, like, target poor people, but she's trying to be a blessing to people. And one day it all came back to her. You know, the ladies got together and had some kind of surprise for her, and they all just kind of showered her with gifts, and they made my wife cry. But that was just something that just, hey, it goes around, comes around. And not that it was pretty cool. And as God's people, hey, if anything, just realize that when you help people out, when you give alms, God himself is going to reward you. And it's not always going to be easy. When you live paycheck to paycheck, it's not always going to be easy, but it's always going to be worth it. And I remember working with this one individual, and I remember we were talking, and then it was like this guy that worked with us as well. We could tell that he was struggling with jobs, and we were getting paid per job. We were getting paid per hour. And then I remember him just thinking to himself, you know what, let me see if this guy has even gotten something to eat. And so I was like, wow, man, this guy's pretty cool. He actually cares about people like that. And so he asked his coworker, did you get anything to eat? He's like, nah, bro, I don't got anything right now. I don't got any money. He's like, no worries, brother. He's like, let me get you. So he takes out his wallet and gives him like $5. It's not a lot, but it's enough to go buy a sandwich at QT. You know, $2.99, a ham sandwich, it's good. Hey, it is what it is. Try it out when you get a chance. Go get a ham sandwich from QT.
It's the best we could do working as contractors. And so he gave him $5 and I'm like, yo, bro, what are you gonna eat? He's like, I was like, what's up, man? He didn't want to say it, but he basically said that he gave his last $5 to this guy so he can get something to eat. I'm like, bro, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, bro, but don't worry about it. I'm fine. I'll be okay. I'm like, all right, man, don't worry. Got to reimburse you. And sure enough, he ends up doing a job, and he gets tipped $5 like right away. And he was looking at me like, see, I told you. God reimburses you, bro, you know? And so I was like, all right, bro, you got me. That's not a coincidence. That's of God, no doubt. Gives his $5 away. He's like, man, I can suck it up for the rest of the day. I'll just eat when I get home. I'm like, all right, man, I wish I had money to give you, but, hey, us contractors, we're broke. You know, we don't have a lot of money, you know, especially when you're not getting paid per hour, you're getting paid per job. But that was just something cool that this person did. It was quickly reimbursed on, you know, to him. And he even said that. He's like, hey, watch, I'm going to get this back. You'll see. And I was like, okay. And sure enough, that's the job. The person was happy with him, gives him a $5 tip. It could have been 10, it could have been 20, but I think God made it $5 to just remind us, hey, I watch you, I see you guys, keep doing right, and he'll take care of you. So in general, I want you guys to remember when it comes to almsgiving, we need to help those in genuine need. So let me just read some verses, and then I'll talk about something that I think not a lot of people hear, but some people may wonder about. And so Proverbs 29:7 says this, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor. Let me read that again. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor. Why? Because there's a lot of people that we may think are poor, but are actually just being pathetic. What I mean by that is that they just don't really care. They don't really want to try, but they still want you to think that they're trying, but they really aren't. I.e., the people that we see outside our doors that are hooked on fentanyl. We need to realize that, yes, they're homeless, and I'm not saying every homeless person is on drugs. I'm not saying that because I did watch a video where some guy's struggling. He's living in his car. He's not on drugs. It is what it is. Lost his job. Things didn't go well. Just had to suck it up. You know, so he was like, hey, it just happens. I lost my job. Just sleep in my car. I go look for work. He's doing his thing. He's doing his best. So not every single homeless person, you know, is a drug addict. I get it. But let's just be honest. The majority of the people out here, they are. And if you haven't seen it live, you will. Keep coming to church at Faithful Word in this area. You'll see it. And why am I bringing them up? Because it is what it is. There have been people, even in this church, who have given these people money. And we need to realize that that's not a good idea. Because they have ways of getting food. There's a guy who walks around here named David. Who's seen David, the guy that likes to walk around with the blanket? Well, that guy, he knows where to get the food. It's Little Caesars. That's where he goes. That's where he hangs out. That's where when I go and pick up Amazon packages next to Little Caesars, he's there, and people are giving him money. People are giving him pizza. People don't realize that this guy, you know, he just, I don't know what to say. He can work. I mean, the guy is probably in better shape than I am. I mean, I got a dad bod. This guy got six-pack abs. I got skinny shoulders. This guy's, like, naturally built like a boxer. And I'm thinking, man. It's like he's never going to get off the drugs or whatever he's doing. I've heard from the manager that he doesn't do drugs. I don't know. Something's wrong with this guy. But we need to be careful not to do that. You know why? Because these people are going to use every dollar they can get their hands on fentanyl. They're just going to do it. But, hey, if they want food, I've noticed that they give them food and they just throw it away. I saw somebody just throw away some tacos. Somebody comes out, gives a homeless person some tacos, and he just tosses them like a frisbee. When the guy wasn't looking, gets in his car, leaves, and I'm like, man. He's like, he wanted cash, didn't get it, so he gets upset. You know, so we need to be careful confusing these people with actual poor people that are working 6-7 days a week and are still struggling to make it. If you know the need, I just recommend you take the lead. And regardless if the person ever pays you back for helping them out in whatever way you can with alms, just remember that God himself, the Father himself, is going to reward you openly. God's going to still have your back. He's still going to have you get praise in front of people. He's going to do it openly, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, or else God wouldn't be doing it. So we need to be careful with that. We need to remember to consider the cause of the poor, why they poor, but of course we also want to be generous. If you're able to give, give. If you can't, then you can't. You know, the Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And of course, when we give people, when we help the poor out, what are we ultimately doing? We're showing mercy. And the Bible says in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that's what we need to remember is that, A, we have to help those that are in genuine need, and we need to remember when we give alms to trust God to repay you generously. Ephesians 6:8 says this, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So it's not always going to be easy. Luke 21:1 says this, and he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. For all these, go to verse number 4. So Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's saying, hey, look at these guys giving all this money. And then this poor widow shows up and then she gives as well. And then when it came to giving, this is what Jesus told them. He says in Luke 21:4, it says, for all these have of their abundance cast in the offerings unto the offering of God. But she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. And what was the thing that God said? Is that this woman gave more than all these rich men. And so, of course, when it comes to giving, we need to remember that sometimes it's not easy. I'm sure for her it wasn't easy, but she gave it unto the Lord, hoping that God would take care of her. And I'm sure she did get taken care of by God. I'm pretty confident about that. But even if not, then by all means, her story is in the Bible. And that's something that we can learn from, is that it's not always going to be easy, but even when you're poor, she found it hard to give, and God saw it. So even when you're poor and you can't really give much, whatever you can do, time, treasures, gift, whatever the case, just always remember that God is seeing, God is watching. Just like he saw this poor widow, he'll see you as well. And at the end of the day, regardless of whether it goes well or not when you give, just remember, regardless, God is going to reward you. Amen? And so the other thing I want to talk about that's in this chapter is not just obviously giving alms, but also praying. And I preach a lot on praying because I think it's super important. But right there, if you can go back to Matthew, or if you're still in Matthew, just go to verse number 5. And these are 3 things that Jesus brought up that said, hey, you do these things, God himself, the Father himself, is going to reward you. Not just reward you, but reward you openly. So quickly, let me go over Matthew 6:5. If you want, you can go ahead and meet me in verse number 6. I'm going to start from Matthew 6:5, where it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Shall reward thee openly. So when it comes to prayer, I don't know about you, but I think prayer is super, super important. But the thing is this, let me just read James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But sometimes what I've noticed in my life, maybe you also notice in your life, is that sometimes I get busy and almost treat prayer like the plague. I just don't do it. And I'm thinking, what am I thinking? It's like, what the heck? One day goes by and I'm like, I can't believe I didn't do anything, any prayer whatsoever. I just sometimes get busy. I don't know about you. Maybe you guys are super perfect, amen? Maybe you guys got this down, amen? But I don't. And for me, I have to constantly remind myself to pray. I mean, I was showing Brother Fidel, bro, if you guys don't have it, on Play Store, Apple, get the smart alarm if you don't got it. That thing is awesome. It helps me to remember who to pray for, and as soon as I say I'm going to pray for you, I write their name, set an alarm, and have it go off every 30 minutes. I'm not saying I'm praying every 30 minutes, but I'm reminding myself as much as I can every 30 minutes to try to pray for people. And then I can snooze it, make it an hour, snooze it 2 hours, snooze it 3 hours, whatever the case may be. There's certain people that I like to pray for, especially when they ask me to pray in certain situations, so I don't want to just say, hey, I'll keep you in prayer. I want to make sure I actually do it. So whether you use an app or you have your wife remind you,
If you're lucky enough to have a wife to remind you to pray, we got to do everything in our power to pray. And remember, this is something that we should do in secret. Even though we do see public prayer in the Bible, the majority of your prayer should be in secret. Amen? And thy Father, which seeth in secret, he shall reward you openly. And remember, it's simple. God wants us to just pray throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray without ceasing. And this is why I believe many people do fall into sin, because let's just be honest. Yes, it's great if you read your Bible. It's great if you come to church. It's great if you listen to preaching. It's great if you memorize scripture to help you overcome sin. But don't forget, yeah, those things are great. Those things will help you. But don't forget the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. Why? That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we need to remind ourselves of that. That A is more than just having, I guess you say, Bible memorized. We also have to have God supernaturally help us to overcome sin. And I've noticed whenever I get, I guess you could say, backslidden, I realize, man, it's always because I haven't prayed like I usually do. I notice when I'm the strongest is when I'm well balanced. I'm reading the Bible, memorizing scripture, and I'm praying as well. That's when I notice that I'm at my strongest and I'm not as easily, as I guess you can say, tempted. But this is something that I think has to do a lot with prayer. And let's just go over a few verses in regards to prayer. Here's a verse from Psalms 5:3 says this, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. That's a good tip. Starting out right away with prayer, asking God to keep you from temptation, asking God to protect you. And when things still go bad at the end of my day, I always just remind myself, well, listen, it still went bad today. Today was a horrible day. Hey, you know what? I got up, I prayed, but things still didn't work out. I always remind myself this. I always tell myself this. Listen, yeah, my day went bad. Yeah, I got up and I prayed and it still went bad. But I couldn't imagine how much worse it could have been if I didn't pray right away. I don't know if you guys ever had that thought, but sometimes even if you get up, even if you pray, even if you start your day right, bad things can still happen. And I couldn't imagine how much worse it would have been had I not prayed. So we know one thing, at the end of the day, when we pray in secret, hey, God himself will see it, and he's going to reward you. And some of the great examples in the Bible, I think of Daniel. Daniel's a great example. He's probably one of my favorite examples. Daniel in the Bible was a very successful prophet. I don't know if you would agree. I mean, look how many kingdoms he went through. Look at the battles that he fought. But here's one thing that I learned from Daniel that I try to do myself, because I want to be successful like Daniel. I want to succeed like Daniel. Hey, if I ever get thrown in the lion's den, I want to react just like Daniel. So when it comes to Daniel, I like his prayer life. He didn't pray 12 times a day or anything, but it's clear in Daniel 6:10, this is what it says about Daniel. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writings were signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. I wonder if that had to do with his success. I wonder if that helped him at all. Or what, he's just like this natural born, I don't know, spiritual stud, I guess, whatever you want to call it. I think not. I think he earned God's power. I think he earned God's protection. It says he prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he did this aforetime. So whenever people come to me and they're like, hey, man, pray for me. I'm struggling with this. I always try to ask them a few questions, just kind of trying to ask them about the basics. What I mean by the basics, you know, the things that God requires all to do. I got a phone call, and I got a guy basically on the other line melting down, having a hard time. He's like, hey, just pray for me. And I started asking him, well, let me ask you this. When was the last time you read your Bible? It's been a minute. Let me ask you this. Hey, when was the last time you went soul winning? It's been a minute. When was the last time you went to church? Oh, it's been a minute. When was the last time you prayed? I don't know. It's been a minute. Well, I'm going to just tell you right now, I can tell why you're going through what you're going through. So I tell him, listen, man, I try to pray, and I don't think I'm going to lose any rewards. This is nothing fancy. I got this from Daniel. I try to pray at least 3 times a day. I try to stop myself and just pray. Even if I have to lock myself in the bathroom, I got to do it. It may seem crazy, but hey, I don't know. The way I see it, I shouldn't even be where I'm at. The way I see it, it's like, man, I almost wonder, like, man, how have I not failed? I mean, I came with my wife, three kids, no job, nothing. Everything just seems to work out really, really good. But I can tell you one thing that I did every chance I could from the first job that I got, which was working at Fires Electronics. It's bankrupt now. They don't exist anymore. But that was the first job I got coming here, and they gave me a 10, then they gave me an hour, then they gave me a 10. What do I mean by that? The first break was 10 minutes. The second break was an hour. The last break was 10 minutes. Well, guess what I did with those first 10 minutes? I went up to the break room, busted out my Bible, read for 5 minutes, got on my knees and prayed. And one time I almost got busted. One time I'm praying on my knees, somebody comes in. For some reason, I couldn't hear their shoes, and I just barely hear them turn around the corner, and I'm just jumping up and pretending like I'm just reading. He's like, what you doing, bro? Nothing. What you up to? Nothing. Just reading. Oh, okay, cool. You know? I can only imagine if they had like their socks on, they're walking up, and they turn the corner. Here I am on my face praying, God, I need some commission. Hey, I don't want to go home with no money. Help me out, Lord, please. And I did that as much as I possibly could. And I thank God answered my prayers because I was never behind any bills, paycheck to paycheck, nothing in the bank account. The only time I ever had any money in my bank account was during tax season. Right, honey? And a lot of times I just gave that to people that I felt needed it. That's what I did. Because I would take my account to zero if I know somebody needs some money. I don't care if I make a lot of money or a little bit of money. If I got something in the bank account, hey, I'm just going to risk it on you because you know what? Golden rule. If you're hurting that bad and you need some rent money, here you go. And I've helped people out with rent, and they never pay me back. But who cares? Because you know what? God has rewarded me openly. Probably tenfold. So if anybody wants to borrow money from me and not pay me back, hey, let's do it. I'd rather get it from the Lord himself. And listen, I know it's basic stuff, but if Jesus Christ mentioned these three things in the chapter, hey, I think they're very important. Amen? And if he says, hey, give your alms, do it in secret, help the poor, I'm just trying to help you guys be rich in heaven. So hopefully this month, this year, you give more, even if it's a dollar. I don't know what a dollar can buy these days, but a little card or something. I'm just saying that, hey, we should be doing our best to be people that are constantly helping out with alms, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. I just think it's worth it because at the end of the day, it says you're going to get rewarded, and I'm just trying to help you guys get rewarded, amen? So besides Daniel, let me just talk about another thing. Oh, I'm sorry, besides praying, we talked about alms, we talked about praying. What else did Jesus mention in this chapter? Some of you aren't going to like it, especially me, because I don't like doing this, but hey, God says if you do it, you're going to get rewarded openly. And do you guys know what's the last one left? Fasting. Dun, dun, dun! What is fasting? It's going without food, practically starving yourself. Let me know if you've heard about fasting before. Just raise your hand if you heard about fasting. Well, let's talk about fasting, amen. You're right there in Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head. This is why I wear hair gel, amen? People always say, hey, why you wear gel? Well, it's right there. I got to anoint myself somehow. Hey, it is what it is. Where's my Moco Loco? That's what I got. Anybody want to give me a gift? You know, anybody want to give me some alms? Give me some Moco Loco. That's my gel. That's my style right there. Hold level five, all right? Hold level five. If you don't know what Moco the Gorilla is, I'll tell you what it is. It's Gorilla Snout. That's what it's translated into. So that's how I anoint my head. With Gorilla Snout, a.k.a. Moco de Gorilla. And don't give me hold level one, two. Those are too weak. I need hold level five. All right, five is yellow. All right, you go to Food City, they have it. It's yellow. Moco has a gorilla with some snout coming out and like a punk rock little hairdo. He's like spiking it up. Hey, that's how I know my hair. Amen. But it says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear unto men, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy, there it is again, thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what does fasting do? Well, I'm going to tell you what it does spiritually, because obviously physically it hurts, and we'll talk about that in a second. But spiritually, this is what I find. Number one, it will humble you.
When you fast, when you go, half a day without food, you skip breakfast, you're working hard, and we'll talk about that in a second. But one thing that it does humble you. When you're in pain and you're like, oh man, this hurts, then you kind of start thinking, man, there's people out there that are in probably more pain than I am. That's one of the thoughts that goes in my brain. Psalms 35:13, and I can cut that pain whenever I want. I just got to throw something in my mouth and it's over. But there's some people that are currently in pain that no matter what they do, they just cannot stop it. That's why I like to take a little bit of time during my day. If I do pray for whatever, minutes, I try to add at least a section where I'm praying for people that I think are sick or are struggling or that I know are sick. But Psalms 35:13 says this, but as for me, let me make sure I got this right. There you go. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. Another thing that it does, it just causes God to listen to you. I'm going to just read. You guys should just listen up. Matthew 17:14 says this. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. In verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Psalms 9:12 says this, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. What else does fasting do? Well, it brings grace upon your life. Because when you humble yourself, or when you fast, it humbles you. And 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So when it comes to fasting, one of the things it will do, it will humble you, especially if you fast for more than a day. When you fast for more than a day, it is what it is. You're going to be in a lot of pain. But whatever the reason that you're fasting, it is going to humble you. It's almost impossible not to. And once you're at that stage where you're humble, God does hear the prayer of the humble. And a few lessons about fasting. Like I said, it's going to hurt. Just listen to this. Psalm 69:10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. Psalms 109:24 says this, my knees are weak through fasting. So why am I bringing that up? Because I don't want people to fast, especially in 110 degree heat, and then go out and go soul winning and think you're okay. No, you're going to pass out. So please don't do it when you're doing something super physical, super tough. Anytime that I fasted, it was on my days off. Anytime I went more than whatever amount of time, it was making sure that I had to do anything physical. Especially I made sure that it's not super hot outside. So we need to be careful when it comes to this of fasting. But for whatever reason that you fast, one thing I know for sure, you will be rewarded openly. You will. And of course, you saw where they're trying to cast out devils, and they're trying to realize, hey, what's going on? We can't cast out these devils. They bring that devil to Jesus, or they bring that kid to Jesus. Jesus casts out the devils, and he tells them, listen, some things are just going to require fasting. Some things you can't accomplish without fasting. So I get these calls once in a while where people are complaining about their church. Oh, our pastor, he's not that good. I kind of want to move to your church. I've done everything I can to help the pastor out. He just won't listen. He won't really start any soul winning, this and that, or whatever the case. I've done everything I can to help out at my church and help the pastor to kind of see the light and start some more soul winning and start realizing that it's not a pre-trip, it's a post-trip rapture. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this, is that sometimes I just ask this person, well, have you fasted for your pastor? And can somebody guess what 99.99, just round it up to 100% of the time, the answer is, no, I haven't. No, I haven't. So you haven't done everything you possibly can. You haven't. And I'm not saying you got to fast 40 days and 40 nights like people in the Bible. I'm not saying that. But can you at least fast one meal before you start complaining about your pastor? Two meals if it's still not getting the job done. Three meals, is it really going to kill you to go a whole day if you have to get your pastor on track? I'm just saying that there's a reason why God says that if you fast, hey, do it in secret. Don't make a big stink out of it. I'm seeing your pain. I'm seeing you hungry. I'm seeing you suffering. And you know what? I'm going to reward that suffering because you're suffering for something that's serious, whatever it may be. I'm going to reward you, and I'm going to reward you openly. Where you're going to be able to see it clearly. But let me talk about some types of fasting. The first one I don't recommend anyone to do. Please don't do this because I think you're going to die. And the first one is what I call miraculous fasting. Miraculous fasting. What is miraculous fasting? Let me just read something. Let me read Exodus 34:28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. Does anybody know who this is? Moses. What did Moses do? Let me read that again. And he was there with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. Don't try this at home, kids. You will die. Now do you guys see why I call it miraculous fasting? Because he's not just going without food, he's going without water as well. Anybody want to try it? Please don't, I'm just joking in case you can't tell. I know some of my jokes are drier than cracker juice, but hey, it is what it is. I'll let you know when I'm being serious and when I'm joking. And so that's the one I don't recommend. I don't know what the whole purpose of it was. If you do, let me know at the end of the service, and maybe next time I preach about this, I'll bring it up. But I don't know why God made him go through this. I don't know. 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no water. Hey, I don't know why he did that, but he did. The other one is, I'll just call it the month-long fasting. This is the one, just listen up, where it says this in Matthew 4:2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And I learned this from Pastor when he brought this up in one of his sermons. It says, afterwards a hungered. How many of you guys have fasted before? Pretty much like 50%. Let me tell you this, I fasted, you know, for whatever amount of time. At the end of my fast, let me tell you this, it is what it is. I was thirsty more than hungry. Why is that? You know, because I just didn't do water, you know, I didn't do water. You know, I was just trying what I'll tell you later, it's called emergency fasting. And I was just like desperate to drink some water. Is Eric in here? Eric Rodriguez? No, he's our mailman who's a church member. I'll tell you a little story about him and me. So here you see Jesus being hungry, not thirsty. That can only say one thing, and that's that Jesus was drinking water during this 40 days and 40 nights. Because if you're not drinking water after like a day or even 2 days, you're going to be super thirsty. The first thing you're going to want to do is grab some water and start drinking it. Any of you guys UFC fans by any chance? Good. That's great. I don't know, maybe one over there, two over there. When these guys are cutting weight, as soon as they're done weighing in, what's the first thing they run to? A cheeseburger? No, they don't. They start drinking liquids right away. That's the first thing these UFC, these martial arts fighters start doing before they're about to get into the ring. They do their little weigh-ins, they're cutting weight, they're losing weight, they're not drinking, they're not eating, they're just trying to burn as much fast, or much fat in order to make the cut. But once they get on that scale where they're about to faint, they're all wobbling everywhere, they finally get off it, the first thing they do is they grab something to drink. But Jesus is not saying that, hey, he was super thirsty, says that he was hungry. So I'm not telling you to fast for 40 days, 40 nights. The only person that I know ever claimed to have fasted 40 days and 40 nights is a guy named Mark Cahill. Who's ever heard of that guy? Well, Mark Cahill, he supposedly fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He's this guy that's a street preacher. He loves street preaching. So he supposedly did 40 days and 40 nights. And then guess what he does as soon as he's done? He tells everyone. But is that what Jesus tells you to do? As soon as you're done fasting, to tell everyone? Not only did he tell everyone, he wrote it in a book. So I don't know how much pain he went through, but everything that he did was for naught because the guy told everyone right away, told his teen group right away, I just finished my 40-day fast. And you wonder, how could this guy do something so crazy and not realize that you're not supposed to tell people? I'm sure people probably noticed that he lost some weight,
But he went and he told everyone he could, I just finished my 40-day fast. It was hard, this and that. I'm fasting for America. I'm fasting for the teens. I'm fasting for this, fasting for that. But at the end of the day, it was all for naught, because you're not supposed to tell people that. You're just not. And so he's like, what else do you not believe about the Bible, Market Hill? Well, here's one of the things he doesn't believe, the gospel. Because in case you don't know who this guy is, he's friends with Ray Comfort. Who knows who Ray Comfort is? All right, well, let me tell you who Marco Hill is. He's just this guy who goes on streets and tries to get people saved, but he's also a hardcore repent of your sins guy. Big shocker that he doesn't believe the part where, hey, do it in secret. And what you do in secret, God's going to reward you openly. He didn't do that, but it doesn't matter if he would have fasted for 100 days. He doesn't believe the gospel, so God ain't listening to him. He can fast for 1,000 days straight, and God's not going to listen to him. Because he's not even saved. He's got the turn or burn gospel. You got to repent of your sins and believe the gospel. Isn't it a gift? It is, but you still have to turn from your sins or you can't get it. Then it's not a gift, my friend. But that's another story. That's another sermon. Amen? So we got the miraculous fasting where no food, no water. That's Moses. 40 days, 40 nights. You got Jesus. 40 days, 40 nights. Hey, he drank water. Why? Because he was afterward hungry, not thirsty. He was a hunger. That means he was pounding water. So I don't think that was a miraculous fast. And if Market Hill can do 40 days, 40 nights, then guess what? I don't think that's a miracle. It's just the body can handle that sometimes. I don't know about me, but I don't think I could do it even a week. I would just probably just quit right away. But here's the other one that I have done. I don't think it's going to cost me anything, but I'm just going to say it. I've tried this one because it was what it was. I had times in my life where I felt like I really need God. I really need God. I got 3 days, no work. I'm going to do this, and hopefully it goes for the best. But that's what I call the emergency fasting. That's in Esther, where it says, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens will fast likewise. So what is she saying? She's like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. We're all going to die. The order has been given. If you don't know the story of Esther, read Esther. You'll know what I'm talking about. But here Esther is trying to save the nation. The way she's trying to save the nation is by going to the king and pleading to the king, saying, hey, there's someone who just put an order to kill all my people. You know, but they told her, hey, you got to go in. But then she's like, hey, if I go to the king and I'm not invited, you know, there's an order out there that if you show up uninvited, you're going to be put to death unless the king gives you the scepter and he has mercy on you. He's like, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm going to do it. But before I do it, I want everybody in the nation to fast with me, fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days and three nights. And I'm not going to tell you how many times I tried this, but I'm going to give you one. I don't care. I don't think I'm going to lose rewards because I wasn't doing it for rewards. But this is one of the things I did before I moved to Faithful Word Baptist. I told my wife, hey, I'm going to try this because it's an emergency. I don't know what to do. You know what? Our church basically lost a pastor, not in a bad way. He went and started, you know, another church somewhere else, and I forgot it was called Oakdale. So I'm like, hey, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how to figure this whole thing out. But I saw this, and I'm like, hey, if this is an emergency for her, I'm going to do it. But here's what I did. I drank a ton of water before I started, all right? Mama didn't raise no fool. So I got a ton of water, drank as much as I could for like probably 4 or 5 days because I knew this was going to be hard. Then, before I even did it, I was eating as much as I could, trying to replenish my body. I guess you could say I was trying to cheat. So then I went and I told my wife, hey, I'm going to get some Chinese food, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to try it and see how it goes. So I did. So I basically just, you know, pounded a bunch of water for a few days. I was in the Marines, so I knew that's what I got to do to really hydrate. You can't just hydrate the night before. You know, I learned the hard way in boot camp. Where's my Marines at? Back there. Any other Marines? Hey, did they do this to you in boot camp? When they're feeding you so much water because they don't want you to pass out from dehydration, where they basically had you form up, they had you get your canteen, right? Remember that? I didn't see this coming. They're like, drink the water. So we're like pounding water, and already we're like filled with water. They fill you up with water all day long because they don't want any Marines to die from dehydration. So they make you drink all this water, all throughout the day, just constantly pound water, canteen after canteen. I was about to die. And then they get us formed up right before we go to bed. And they have us hold our canteens. And they're like, drink it. So I'm like, drink it. If you're done, raise it up. So I raised it up. And I didn't see this coming. They're like, raise it up if you're done. You're done. All right. Now flip it over. And as soon as I flip it over, all this water came down. Boy, did I get chewed out. No integrity, huh, Segura? No integrity, right? Get down on your face. You too. Like, did that happen to you? But you saw it happen to other people, right? Yeah. I was one of those people that didn't have any integrity that day. It fell all over my face. I couldn't drink anymore. So that's where I realized, hey, if you really want to be hydrated, it has to start like days before you try something crazy. So I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. Drank a bunch of water, ate a good meal, and then went through days. They didn't work. Remember, I didn't work, nothing physical, just reading my Bible. I just got fired or something. I don't remember what happened. And so I did it, and yeah, it sucked, and I made it through. So I'm not saying for you to try this. I'm just saying that this is not a miracle, what Esther did. But sometimes desperate times calls for desperate measures, and I'm just throwing it out there that, hey, do not do the miraculous one. I think you're going to die. You want to do the 40 days, 40 nights, the one that Jesus did, go ahead, but you're probably going to be a bag of bones, and hopefully you have 40 days off. Hopefully you have a whole month off. This emergency fasting, hey, I was going to bring up Eric because me and him did it together, and it wasn't fun. And I don't know if he cheated, but I didn't. You know, but I did this because I really wanted to get God's attention. I really felt like I had an emergency. I've never left California at all. Here I am, unemployed with a wife, three kids. I'm like, I don't know where to go. So I'm like, hey, I saw this story. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And I don't know about you, but I think God has rewarded me openly. Amen? Because I'm here at Faithful Word, and so far, so good. Amen? I didn't ask for anything. I didn't ask for any rewards. I'm like, God, the only thing I want is wisdom. The only thing I want is to figure this whole thing out. Hey, if you don't come up with some answer, I'm just going to assume that everything's good. I've tried my best to figure this out. It makes perfect sense. This church is going downhill. They're about to get a pastor who's repenting of your sins. I can't go to a church where the pastor's repenting of your sins. I'm going to go to a church where the pastor believes in easy believism. And I was like, Pastor, I was like, Lord, I don't know. It's like I found a faithful word. Hey, this guy seems legit. I can't really tell what it looks like. I don't care. I've heard his preaching. I'm already convinced. I've heard 1, 2, 3, repent after me, easy believism, you name it. I listen to those, and I'm thinking, man, this guy's the real deal. And I told my wife, hey, if it turns out that he's a total fraud, by all means, hey, I'll be happy to be duped. Because I've learned more listening to this guy in 3 months than I did in 8 years at my old IB church. And so before I made a crazy move, I just kind of felt I had an emergency. I'm like, hey, if Esther can do it, and she's a woman, I'm like, come on, I'm a man, I can do this. Esther got nothing on me. When I meet her, I'm going to be like, yo, you want to have a fast off? Let's go. Let's go, Esther. We got our glorified bodies. You know, it's all for fun. No one's going to die. But I am looking forward to meeting Esther and be like, Esther, I don't know how you felt, but it sucked. I got this from you. But I'm throwing it out there because it's just a fast that you see. And obviously, honorable mentions. You see Paul doing the same thing. Paul went 3 days without food. Nineveh, same thing, 3 days praying to the Lord without food. Daniel, 21 days, you know, he did a partial fast. It was what it was. In conclusion, Matthew 6, I love it. Great chapter, recently read it. These things stuck out, I don't know why. God himself, that just makes me feel like, whoa, himself? The Father himself, like, wow, himself? Yeah, himself, he's going to reward you. What? I need to hurry up and start doing more alms. He's like, yeah, I pray now, but hey, because of the situation that we have in our church, I've been praying even more. And not just that, it is what it is. Hey, you know what? Somebody came up to me the other day, which kind of inspired me to also keep preaching this. They're like, bro, hey, man, this situation is so crazy. I wanted to work out so much, I even started fasting. I was like, you fool, you shouldn't have said that. Why did you say that? Keep it to yourself. I'm able to say it here because I already got my reward, so it's not like I'm going to lose it. I'm already a faithful word. I already did my 3 days, no food, no water. Hey, God answered it, rewarded me. I'm a faithful word. I'm not going to bring up the other times because I don't want to lose those rewards. But this person pumped me up when he said that. But he shouldn't have said it. Don't do that. It's supposed to be in secret, bro. And I'm not going to say who it is, but they know who they are. So keep it on the low, bro. Don't be telling people you fasting, dog. It's not good for you. You're going to miss out. You're not supposed to. You're breaking the rules. Keep it a secret. And thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. I just ask you to help everybody this year to give more alms, to pray more, to fast more. And Father, I did my best to teach your word. So I ask you right now, dear Father, to let them take it home and let it stay with them as long as humanly possible. And I know it's helped me, Father, just reading this chapter, reminding me that you, Father, you, yourself, you're going to reward me openly by doing more and helping out people in these three ways. And I know there's other things that we can do that you're going to reward us for. Sowing in is one of them as well, dear Father. You know, but these were the three in this chapter, and these were the three that I felt that I wanted to just bring up before our people, and I ask you to just bless it
And not just that, bless everyone here tonight. Help them to go home safely. And I ask you to just hear us, Lord, and just answer our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.